Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Well, 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 it's another 902-1OMG, you guys.
Wow.
And it's an OMG-er.
Yeah.
It is. It's heavy.
I did not see this episode coming.
Nope. Not after last week.
The world did.
Well,
the world saw it coming because it's so topical.
I mean, isn't it crazy? We were just talking about Halloween. We're so on trend with our podcast, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Life. But here it is.
Mm-hmm. The topic of anti-Semitism and racism abound in this episode.
Yeah.
It actually like took me back. Like where I was like, this is literally what's on the news.
Yeah.
What's in our world.
Mm.
It was sort of astounding how on point this episode was. Like I was a little gobsmacked. Like, whoa.
I mean, yeah. It is weird how this is, it's the same. I mean, when the show has in the past talked about racism,
mm-hmm.
and here we are dealing with the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about anti-Semitism, and that's just all over the news right now. It's on every college campus.
It's just.
What's sadder is to know that things don't change.
Yeah.
Oof, isn't that?
That's the hard part. We always say we've come so far, and then it's something like this that you look mm-hmm. back 30 years ago and you're like, mm-hmm. we really sadly haven't.
Tori, that's such an interesting point. That was after watching this, I really was left to try to figure out, was 90210 so groundbreaking and so like just willing to address these things? And I attribute that a lot to your dad, Tori. Mm. Then I also was like, or does life just never change?
Mm.
Do these issues just
well,
not
regardless,
go
the
away?
Show was definitely groundbreaking because
we were the first show talking about it on primetime television, and certainly the first show ever talking about it to this younger audience.
For sure.
So true, Jenny. It's like, I also felt this episode did not land on me back then in the same way it does now. It's just watching it completely from a different perspective.
As an adult?
Yeah, I think most of it probably sort of went over my head, mm-hmm. or I just didn't pay attention or realize the significance of it all. Mm-hmm.
Which is a risk they took, because when dealing with young people and, you know, here we are, we keep talking about fifth season, like, oh, we're getting into the keg parties and all the romances and the scandal. And then to take us into something that's just like a hard-hitting topic feels almost like off point, but very 90210. But they took a big chance that the audience would be like, young kids would be like, eh, I don't want to see this. I don't want to watch this episode.
Yeah, they hit it hard too. Like,
yeah, really
I wish
hard.
There was a balance. I got to be honest.
Mm-hmm. It was a little heavy-handed.
It was.
But it was such a heavy topic.
Yeah.
And important to so many people. So many people around the world, but so many people involved in the production of our show, like, you right. know, yeah. So
they handled it well, too, not just with my 1994 eyes, but with today. Like, it wasn't, I thought it was handled well. I thought if I was a young person watching this, you understood all sides and you understood how important this was, and each was presented fairly well. The, you know, per usual, the let's tie it up with a bow and we're all so happy is always a little 90210-y. But otherwise, I don't have a lot of criticism of it.
Why don't we remind people what the heck we're talking
yes.
about? This is season 5, episode 11. Hate is just a four-letter word. Aired November 16th, 1994.
Synopsis: racial tensions hit the campus of California University, putting Brandon's peacekeeping skills to the test. Kelly's photo shoot gets canceled. Donna's party gets ruined, and Dylan gets threatened by his no-good drug dealer.
Directed by Les Landau, written by Richard Golance and Charles Rosen, of course.
Yeah. Can we get the one most awkward thing in this whole episode out of the way, though?
The one.
Literally, I gasped. Wait,
there's one.
I gasped out loud. There was
wait,
one.
Can
thing.
I guess?
Jenny will get it. You'll get it.
Wait. Okay. What was it with Brandon?
Yes, it was with Brandon.
Was it something Brandon said
yes.
to Kelly?
I can't remember who he said it to, but it was so not.
Wait, say it. What?
Was it slap and tickle?
No, but I can't wait to talk about that. It was when
it?
They said, I'm just going to acknowledge it. Next year, could you get Bill Cosby?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
God.
So that was okay then to reference him.
It, of course. And it totally made sense then. But that was the one thing that I was like, well, that did not age well.
How could he have known, though?
He couldn't have known. They yeah. know so much on 90210, but they did not.
Yes, we're so ahead of our time.
Did not get that one.
Pudding was
totally
a big
right.
thing then. It was, you couldn't have known.
Yeah. Pudding and the Cosby Show was quite well-liked then.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was when Brandon asked Kelly if she wanted to go back to her place and do a little slap and tickle.
Okay, so.
What's a slap and tickle, by the way?
Exactly. What?
Well, only Kelly would know. Apparently, it's their thing, a slap and tickle.
I guess that was something like things we said to each other then.
That was actually bananas.
What does that mean? He's going to slap me and I'm going to tickle him?
Or like a slap your fanny and tickle, 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 tickle. What is it?
Whatever it is, it's creepy. And I don't want that visual. Thank you.
Oh. God, it's gross, especially for like someone young to be like, that sounds like something like Jim Walsh might say to Cindy, like, hey, let's go upstairs and do a little slap and tickle.
I put a note like,
on the suspenders.
Actually, how about Jim Walsh being also very ahead of his time, sort of calling out Brandon's white privilege in a very sort of eloquent way?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, all right. Yeah.
Leave it to Jimbo.
Everybody got it right, especially, although Jesse and Andrea, we can dissect, because I do think Andrea has an issue sort of listening and allowing people to have a different opinion. But that was very compelling. Andrea with her grandmother, and obviously she would be passionate about this.
Right.
And rightfully so. She would be a real outspoken, you know, person willing to make a stand. So that all tracked, and it was nice to see her have something to do.
Other than carry a baby. Yeah.
Yeah. When Grandma Rose, is that Grandma Rose?
Mm-hmm.
When Grandma Rose, because Grandma Rose was somebody else, so I get confused.
Right. Yeah, 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 that's right.
Grandma Rose dropped the line about him being, him dying in the camps. Like, all of a sudden, the episode just took a turn for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about you.
No, it was so heavy saying that Hannah looks like him. And then all of a sudden you get this, you just get the heaviness and the importance of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, it just resonated so much about speech and inappropriate speech, and or somebody saying something in one speech and that becoming how you completely think of them. You know, and again, I was left to not really know what my take was on Roland Turner, because we see that terrible, hateful speech, horrible, but then we never really are convinced that he's not that way, even though Janice is explaining that he is different from that. So it was just, all of it just was too much for me.
Yeah, it was topically. So much, it was hard for me to track, like, everybody's position on everything. What did you feel, how did you feel about the fight when Andrea comes over to visit Brandon? Because each of them had their position, and I felt like neither of them were wrong in what they were
saying. I felt the same way. It was a little Brandon-y to abstain. Brandon is very hesitant.
He's so neutral.
He's so
Switzerland.
Totally.
Brandon. Jason, Brandon.
life art.
So I thought, oh, that was interesting. You know, it's so 90210 to have this topic that at the time was so probably, I couldn't even really comprehend. And there's also the confusion of real people being interspersed, like Anita Hill or Marcus Garvey. And then Roland Turner, I'm assuming, is like a made up person. There's a lot of that where it was very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're kind of like trying to do a history lesson at the same time.
And I was thinking, like, I think this might have been my first sort of learning about all of this, because I didn't go to high school. And I didn't have classes in these categories. So this was like educational for me back then. And then I was thinking, like, when kids go away to college, I mean, this is when they get to express their opinions about things. Mm-hmm. And then they get to go and have this outlet where they get to stand on their own opinions. And it's interesting. Again, I never saw that in real life. So I felt like I was learning how it was handled back then, and now seeing how it's being handled now, just the similarities.
And the prominent sort of role models in everyone's life, the woman who works at 17 magazine and her perspective, the dean and his perspective.
Great.
Yeah. And that really resonated too. Like, I don't know. I do feel like it was well done, although it's hard to totally know where I stand, because it was confusing. And in 44 minutes, I'm like, I don't have any information.
I mean, I know this episode was really important to my dad and his heritage. I mean, I can remember not knowing what it was about, but we took one, you know, my dad didn't fly. So we took one trip to Europe, and we had to take a train 3 days to New York. And then the QE2 boat took a week to get there. So it was a big deal when we were in Europe. But my dad, it was really important that he wanted to, because he was in World War II, it was important for him to go to Normandy, France, and the wall. it was really important as a Jew to take a picture there. And he was like, this is part of our heritage and for everyone that was murdered. And that was something that I'll never forget. Wow. That photo and seeing him so proud, like beaming.
And okay, I'm sorry to get sidetracked on such an important thing. He actually did not fly at all. So you took a train across the country and took a boat.
Right. It was in World War II. And when he was coming home, he came back from Europe to New York and was supposed to get on a flight to Texas. And he had bronchitis. They pulled him off the flight. The flight crashed. Everyone died on it. So his mom said, please don't ever fly again. He never did. He was 18.
And even in all your years, he never got a private plane, nothing.
No, he wouldn't get back on a plane ever. Jen knows this, like never flew.
Wow. So you took this trip that it was so important to him that you did it the way you all did it, all four of you.
Yes.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Can you remember it? Like, can you remember all of it and how important it was to your dad?
Yeah, but I could visualize that picture that he took, and he was like, I think we had like disposable cameras at the time. But it was really important for him to go there specifically and take a picture. And I remember him kissing the wall and he was very emotional.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important, don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature. And of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it's such a heavy episode. And I did think about your dad throughout. For some reason, I don't know, Jenny, if you had the same thing, but for some reason, I felt like this had to have been so important to him. And I'm assuming, I don't want to put words in Charles Rosen's mouth, sure, but I'm assuming this was so important to him.
Yes. Him and Karen, of course.
Yeah. I think it was a good episode, but it was hard to follow. And
it was heavy.
It felt like it took me out of the 90210 of it, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially today.
And this is sweeps, right? Still sweeps? November 16th.
Yeah.
Which is a tough one, I feel like, for sweeps.
Right.
Right? Because
I mean,
it's polarizing, right? Of course. Some young people are going to be like, oh, wow, okay, I want to learn. I want to know more. They can watch with their parents. You can talk to them about it. And others are like, we want the, you know, fun, like, partying at the keg house.
The beach, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, like, typical because we have this sort of history lesson happening in front of our eyes. But then we simultaneously have Dylan in the hospital with his mom with a drug dealer getting into the hospital.
I forgot about that.
Well, because Val tells him how to get there. Like what is she doing? Sitting vigil night after night, never leaving the hospital, but then going and sneaking basically into it, getting the keys somehow from Iris, and then going into his thing, going through all of his drawers. But I guess then she was trying to get rid of the drugs.
That's so just as I was sort of like, oh, but Valerie. Then she got rid of the drugs, and she was sort of proud of herself for doing it.
Yeah, but then she tells the drug dealer to go visit him, essentially.
That was so crazy. Why would she not realize that was a drug dealer? What old friend? What did you think it was?
Yeah, that doesn't ring true for Val.
She saw him in the dream. He was the devil. Hello. I'm just kidding. You didn't watch that episode? It's just last week.
And how about that guy, like, very, like, in the hospital, like even the worst drug dealer, you better keep my name out of your mouth. Like this guy's on his deathbed. Like, what?
And also, what's going to happen with this nurse? Come on,
oh
you guys.
Oh my gosh.
I feel something coming.
Like what? What do you feel?
I feel like she's going to be a part of his past life regressions or something.
I was about done with her when we saw her again. She's a med
student, but
wants to study his dreams. And then I saw a deck of cards. I was just like, what the heck?
Yeah, I don't like where this is going. I feel bored by it.
Yeah, I was about done with her. I'm like,
I told you I watched the wrong episode. So, oh, no, I didn't. I watched two episodes from now, so she's gone. So I guess she's in.
Oh,
okay, good, good.
Let's talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about Dylan's whole sitch.
Okay.
Yeah, I was honestly kind of bored by it this episode. I'm glad he's better and he can talk. And
he seems to be improving. And then there's sort of a comment about he has no money. And then it seemed like Iris was maybe going to sort of save the day on that. She's got the Hopefully. Money. Don't worry about the money. I don't know. And then Valerie's
like he was filming something else. And like he had one day to shoot and they just did it all in the hospital bed.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And then Iris kind of liking Valerie, like telling Dylan, it's like, come on, Iris, you know better.
Iris has met Val before.
Just in this time, just in this last, since he's been in the hospital.
Really? That's the first time she's met her.
Yeah, because it's the first time she's been back since Valerie moved into town.
Wow. So why does she like her?
I don't.
Because she thinks that's his new girlfriend or something?
I mean, all the rest of you forgot about him, though. I will say that. Like,
yeah.
The rest of you are, you know, changing the world and playing flag football, but.
There's flag football again?
There was some flag football. Remember Brandon?
Last episode.
This one, too. Remember Brandon?
I skipped that, too. You guys with the football. I'm sorry.
They lost.
They lost. They got all dirty.
Brandon was
late.
Got dirty.
Brandon missed the game.
Like, cute dirty? I fast forward. I
no.
No. Muddy. I liked when Rush called Stevie Wonder. That was a little cute nickname. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cute. Can I ask a question, though? I don't know if you guys noticed. Did you notice some crazy camera work at one point that it looked like we were the Blair Witch Project?
No, that would have made me excited, though. Where was that?
There was a scene of Kelly and Brandon in sort of the outside of school. First of all, the lighting was like so bad. It was so sunny and just bad. And the camera was just full Blair Witch Project. I was like, what is going on?
That was handheld like before there was like
a Steadicam or something.
Yeah. This was literally a handheld camera. They didn't have those those rigs that they put on now. You know, that whole
thing. That thing. You know what? I think one of the struggles I had with the episode, even though I really
tell us
liked it.
Yeah.
And I think Jenny alluded to this. It's like I was supposed to know Alex Diaz and Janice Williams and all these people so well.
Hello, they've been on so many times.
Like, I still don't get why Alex Diaz is just once gunning for Brandon all the time and he's so angry. Like, I couldn't keep all that straight. So that was challenging.
I could not keep it straight. And I was like, wait, this guy's back? Okay.
Yes. I was like, oh.
But I will tell you, when Brandon, negative dancing. Brandon with that gavel, I don't know. I thought that was hot. I watched it twice, you guys.
Oh my God, that's so cute. But who brings their girlfriend to their like board meeting? Like, you're always there.
Well, he thought it was going to be quick, and then they were going to go do a little slap and tickle.
Hello, she's number two on the call sheet. Of course, she's always going to be there. I'd get her in as much as I could too. I don't care if it makes sense. I want to see her.
She's supporting her boyfriend, who, by the way, I really like Brandon and Kelly together. When I see them together, it just makes me happy as a person watching it.
Totally.
I don't know. They just seem fun and like.
They don't seem fun.
You don't think they seem fun? What the discussions they were having in this episode?
They're so. I don't know. There's nothing spicy.
No, they're like
an old married couple.
Yeah, like teenage lovers.
But I want to see a little bit of like something.
A slap and tickle?
Okay, sure. You know what? I'll take it. That grosses me out, but I'll take it at this point.
I like them. You're wearing a bit of a prairie dress now.
My note was I want that dress immediately. That dress, I loved it so much. I'm going to have it made. It's so Meg Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So should we talk about Ray or more of the heavy stuff? Because I do want to talk about Deshaun and how he's such a great character and should be in it way more. You don't think?
Wait, he was in it?
Oh, my God. I love Deshaun.
We love when he comes back.
They give him 2 seconds of screen time. But
he's hot. Yeah.
He always looks hot. He always comes in with the wise words and like it's solves weird. Always the voice of reason.
Because he was barely in it.
Yeah, one scene, half a scene.
Yeah.
So what about Ray's birthday? And that Ray is 25 and Donna is just about 20. I don't think I ever remembered the age difference.
Oh.
What was Ray doing in the beach apartment? Was he fixing something?
With his tank top.
With his tank top there?
That was when just he came out. Style.
He had his tool belt and he was repairing something.
Oh, he was repairing something?
And that's when we learn he was fixing the faucet. That's what he was doing. He was fixing the faucet. That's right. They do acknowledge he was fixing the faucet.
I didn't care. All I cared about was Claire's cute hairdo and Donna's tour. Is this when you had a Band-Aid on your nose?
Okay. I went back and I was like, oh, my God. That's the
I see. Bite. I saw it was, right? Something.
What happened?
1994. Take me back. 1994. I was how old?
I don't do math.
20?
I was 20.
Yeah, I think we were all 20.
I just lost the Casper thing, so I was still with Nixles a little bit before my 21st birthday.
When did you get when the altercation with the bird happened?
It was before my 21st birthday, so was I not 21 yet? Does that make
Somebody
sense?
Somebody tell me what's happening.
I was born in 73.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was it. So. But I didn't see a Band-Aid, but something I saw.
I saw like a flesh-colored tape thing over your nose. And every time you're on camera, I could see it.
It looked like I was powder. Like, it looked like I had done cocaine, which I hadn't done.
And I thought to myself, okay, I know how your brain works. I know how in your head you were at that time about being on camera with that on your nose. Oh, and I was
my
thinking,
nose
wow.
in general. You know how I feel yeah. about the nose.
What
but
happened?
Especially after a bird bites it off.
A bird bit your nose? Just tell me everything.
No one ever believes this story, but Jen was there, so she knows it's real. People think I make this up as like party fodder when I tell this at a party, but it's a good. So I had gone with the bad boyfriend at the time, Nick, to Hawaii with Shannon and Dean Factor on the same vacation. That's when she got engaged and also broke up. There was she threw the crystal dolphin, like that whole thing.
You've told that story before. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But then they got back together. Okay. In that same trip, you could go, you can't do this nowadays, but you could just walk in the streets and they would sell you parrots.
What?
Eclectus parrots. Big red ones were females. Big green ones were males. Nothing. That was it. You bought a parrot. They gave you a parrot and you could transport it home from Hawaii
what?
To LA. On the plane. I don't know, different
so time. You bought a bird.
So Nick and I decided we're going to buy a bird because that's just, that seems like the next step in a totally dysfunctional relationship. So we bought a bird that I named Charlie, even though she was a girl, which weirdly went on to be my first husband's name, Charlie. Anyway, whole different story. He was nice. But this bird... really great bird. They're very communicative. She had my voice. So I would always come home and I'd be like, "Hi, Charlie Bird." And she'd be like, "Hi, Charlie Bird." And talk just like me, which is crazy. But sadly, you know, I would have to go to work all day and we worked crazy hours. So she would be home alone. He didn't work. So he was home with her. And she progressively got like more anxiety and meaner to the point where like my friends and I, if we would have her out and she would dance and she would sit on me at night, I'd be like looking at my lines and she'd be like sitting with me in bed and cuddling in my hair and was the sweetest thing. And she'd do all these funny dances. And then she got to a point where something was going wrong in her life, which mimicked
how about
something going wrong
not
in
being
my
in
life.
Hawaii anymore. Yeah.
Or like I was in a bad relationship. She also was in a bad relationship.
She felt the
energy. Trauma. Mm-hmm. And she literally, like, we would take her out, my friends and I, and, like, she would run at the door, and we'd have to lock ourselves in the bathroom, and she'd be, like, pecking at the door. And I was like, something's wrong with Charlie. Like, she's not happy. I don't know what's happened. So anyway, I came home one night from work, and I would always go to the cage and be like, "Oh, Charlie, I'm going to stick my nose in the cage." And she'd come and go with her little black tongue. She'd go, kiss me. And this one night, apparently he had been screaming at her all day. And I didn't know this, but when I got home, he wasn't there. And I went to the cage and went, "Hi, Charlie Bird." And she came up and just grabbed my nose so hard and wouldn't let go. And she was going, "Ah." And I froze because I was like, I don't know how to get out of this. So I froze for a second. I said, "You're okay. You're okay." And for some reason, and it hurt, like it was, she let go. And I was like, whoa, I saw stars. I was like, that was painful. Their beaks are so sharp. And she was a big bird. And I just remember walking to the guest bathroom and looking in the mirror, and I couldn't see anything because it was just blood covering down here. And
oh
I had
God.
No idea what had happened. I called my then boyfriend and said, emergency, I need to go, like 911. I got to go to the emergency room. The bird, I think, just bit my nose off, like something bad. And he was like, I'm at the casino. Sorry. An hour away, you're going to have to call your mom. And I was like, oh my, cool. Okay, thanks. So I called my mom. Thank goodness my mom was like, okay, we're not going to the ER. You need a plastic surgeon because it was bad, you guys. She had ripped right here. I had to get 8 stitches. I still have the scar. And they said if she had gone a tiny bit more, it was already split open. It would have been like off. Like they wouldn't have been able to put my nose back together. But she took me to, this is weird, you guys, Dr. Hofflin. Does this name ring a bell? Michael Jackson, Dr. Hofflin.
Oh.
Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, I got nothing.
He was like his plastic surgeon, like very involved in all his like everything. Mm. But was a plastic surgeon my parents knew of and knew him and called him. He met us at the office and sewed it up, and I had to have stitches. But then I had to go to work, which was mortifying. Uh-huh. And they couldn't write me out, so they had to put a Band-Aid there.
My point was, you did a really good job of acting, because I know how hard that must have been for you, because you probably were super self-conscious, more self-conscious.
I didn't even see it
at that age. Yeah.
I did not even see it.
I knew I had like issues with my nose and didn't feel good about it. And then got a nose job and felt like it was a botched nose job. To this day, you know, I still am weird about my nose and only turn to the side. But the good side that I like is actually the one that there's a scar, a really bad scar here. And when I tell people it's from a parrot, they think, oh, okay, what's the real story? I'm like, no, a parrot bit through my nose. It was split wide open. Anywho. And then I gave that parrot to Nick Scalacci, our makeup artist.
Yeah.
Because my mom was like, you got to get rid of the parrot. That could have been your eye. And I was like, oh my gosh. But parrots live to be like 89. You have to will them. So he had a big farm and ranch. He was our makeup artist. They had lots of animals. How long do they live? Like 80, 90 years, you guys.
So is the parrot still around?
Oh, I'm sure.
Wow.
We should ask Nick where Charlie Bird is.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Jean. I've lost her on the business. I understand now. She's a wise man, marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Jean! Run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return. Your time won't. And we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to stay with me, I think, all the things in this episode and just how, like...
Well, first of all, it's going to stay with me. Noah, the guy that was talking to Andrea, like the activist, when he comes in to talk to her and she's like doing her work, really gets up in there.
Yeah. And at first I had that moment where I was like, is it him? But no, it's the laundromat guy, right? Like Tori. It's the, At first I had a moment of like, oh, but then you realize he sought her out. He was a little bit of a conniver because he acts like, oh, Andrea, haven't seen you in a while. And then he's like, I found you because of Brandon, which I thought was, you know, that's not really, that's not cool. But whatever, it worked. And she went right to Brandon's, which I, there is a moment in that scene. I don't know if you guys saw when she's going up the stairs and Brandon like pats her, holds her back kind of as she's walking up and looks at Jim and Cindy with the eyes like, I don't know what she's doing here. I was like, good eye acting.
Eye acting.
You made a note about that?
I sure did. He's all, I was like, can I do that with my eyes?
I made a note about Brandon doing the half tuck before the half tuck was a thing.
Oh, no way. That's a good note. Where did he do that? Like the front half of the shirt?
I thought he looked just really hot in this episode. I'm all about Brandon right now. And he had all the silver bracelets on.
Yep, and the great color choices of his polos because they really brought out his eyes, both the bluish green and the burgundy. I was like, oh, wait, all right. Okay. He likes a polo.
Andrea says something that was interesting. No, it wasn't Andrea. It was Janice. Janice says, you're either down with the First Amendment or you're not.
Yes, which that's why this episode is so complicated. There's like 14 issues being discussed all at the same time. And I was like, an excellent point, Janice. That being said, I don't know about this Roland Turner guy. It was so complicated. I understand why Brandon abstained because I was like, I don't know what I would do. This is a hot mess and very violent. There was sort of some really aggressive, like,
yes,
the scene with the swastikas on the building was very upsetting. And then I also understood when Brandon says they want them to remain there until tomorrow because they're saying this could happen again. And you're like, this episode is so intense. It's filled with so much that just resonated today, just over and over again, especially with people saying things. You have to be so careful with your words, even though, yes, the First Amendment is so important, but you do have to be so careful with your words and the power of your words. Ugh, I don't know. I was just like, overwhelmed.
Yeah, they started to go at it for real.
Yeah, this whole episode is just very, like, same thing as wanting to talk to Chuck about the dream episode. I really want to talk to him about this, which I did try. He's on a plane, but maybe we can get him for the next episode. There's just so much to this. They must have rewritten this so carefully so many times. Unless maybe, yeah, I don't know, maybe they just got it right the first time, but.
We should definitely ask him.
It's just such a serious episode. And I just, it's overwhelming, especially because of today. And I wonder if Chuck, how he feels about it today. He must be quite proud of himself.
I would think, yeah.
I would be if I were him. I wish I could ask your dad too, Tori, about this episode. There's so many times when I think about that, but this one, like, what it meant at the time. I don't know. Anyway, Jenny, change the subject. The Gibson guitar. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Donna just comes in hot with that gift for Ray.
Yeah.
A Which classic is so Gibson guitar.
Weird foreshadowing because I've given a guitar to a boyfriend after this, like later, and then to a husband.
In real life?
Much later. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was like, that's so bizarre.
I have such mixed feelings about Ray.
Yeah, he's snoozeroony.
I'm also just always like, I'm so used to that scene where there's just really a violent scene that I'm always jarred by him. Just always on edge.
I mean, like, his character's just written so snoozy. Like, he really doesn't do anything.
Until he does.
Oh, okay. All right.
I wonder if that was intentional, too, to make him sort of
seem the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't see it coming.
Did you make them, you want to see them together. Like, it's just like, they give him nothing. He's just like, there. Yeah. No, the guy.
He's sweet. He's very all about her, which I think becomes the problem.
Maybe.
Did you see No-No, the makeup artist in the show?
Wow.
When Kelly was in the makeup trailer for her big photo shoot that didn't happen, the lady that was doing her makeup was No-No Nanette.
The real makeup artist?
Yeah.
No way.
Hardly. I love when they do that.
That's pretty cool. I can't. The 17 storyline is interesting too, because there's obviously more to it.
But it's not happening.
Well, I think it is. You're going to get the cover now, and it's just going to be different. It's going to be different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's setting a lot up.
There's just so much in this episode all at the same time. Like, I'm supposed to keep like all this straight, and it's like, I can't do it.
Do you like when Brandon goes to the gym and he always works out at the same arm machine? He's always at that fly machine. That looks like it's from the 1970s.
Oh, and then there's that sort of moment between Andrea and Brandon. He comes out all sweaty because he works out in the morning. And obviously she's up because of the baby. And they sort of have this moment, like, I guess we don't know our schedules anymore. And then she does give the heartfelt apology, which I actually like. I like her. I like Andrea. She's a hothead.
Yeah, she's very opinionated and not afraid to voice her opinions, which is great. But I think what you said before, she doesn't really leave a lot of room for other people to have their opinions.
And Jesse called that out. Like, oh, he really.
Yeah, this is getting a little frictious in their relationship. I don't think that's going to work out.
I would give the episode award, if there is one, though, to Grandma Rose. She's really comes with the wise words. Her experience, her knowledge.
Lady Suzanne just never came back. It's just
so weird.
No, now we have a different lady.
Yeah. She had one episode and then just never came back as Grandma Rose. Like, there were, I don't know.
I wish, I wish she had stayed, but this Grandma Rose.
No, she's great.
That was a good performance, and I too want to see her interview she did.
Mm-hmm. What about the moment at the end when Brandon turns around and sees that David has joined Andrea and accepted and stepped up to his religion? You know, he's found the courage in everybody else finding the courage.
And the importance
of supporting it. Mm-hmm.
I liked it all.
I did feel that moment was so hokey.
Bit of a bow. Bit of a 90210 bow. Like, all is right in the world.
Here. Everything is so... Yeah.
Throughout the series, though, it's not like this is the first time. Like, they definitely dabble in always touching on this. But yeah, it does ties up in a bow.
So in the next episode, will it be all different? Not,
I think it's not referred to again. Yeah, I don't think
it's over.
Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it's not even mentioned.
What's the next one called?
But the next one is called Rock of Ages. Episode 12. That's y'all's homework, by the way, to watch episode 12.
And hard to find.
Yeah.
Where can they find it again?
It's online on YouTube, Lorraine, but I think it's on the DVDs.
You found it on Daily Mail?
No, Daily Motion. Sorry, I caught.
Oh, sorry.
It is on the DVDs.
I can only see the M.
Don't start with me.
If you have the DVDs, it's on there. And then it's also on Daily Motion, which I don't know what that is, but I'm going to go dig in for it.
Yeah.
I definitely have the DVDs. I just don't have a DVD player. Gotta deal with that, Sitch.
I feel like we talked about everything for this episode. I mean, there's definitely a lot in there that we probably grazed over. But is it grazed or glazed? Glazed.
Glazed. Glaze is a donut.
Glazed
But if
over.
You graze over something, it means you're eating it as you go.
Oh, you're right.
Glazed over it. Like a light glaze. Like
glossed, perhaps?
You know, so it's hard to
maybe all three's right. Grazed over it.
We did our best.
We did
like a grazing, board.
It's hard to talk about a date for a birthday and anti-Semitism at the same time. I'm not going to lie; it's really hard.
It was an odd mix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So send us your comments and
let us know.
We have to rate this episode. I feel like we could get in trouble.
I'm just giving it a 10 based on the fact that it could not be more current. It's like, you know what? Yeah.
Okay, it 10, 10, 10, 10. Great, done.
10, 10, 10. Yay. Great. First Yay. 10. This is the first solid all 10s.
There you go.
Ever in the history of 90210 OMG.
It's like Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
you get a perfect 10.
I'm jumping up and down right now. Because that's what they do when you get 10s. Okay, so next week we're going to watch that episode and we're going to talk about it. It's going to be great. And you guys are all going to have the best week ever because we love you.
This is true.
Bye, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Everybody have a safe and wonderful Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Tofu, tofu, tofu. You do you. Love you.
Bye.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.